This is episode 19 of the Empowered Equestrian Podcast. I am your host, Lizanne Roy. I am a certified horseback riding instructor, homesteader, and blogger. I am on a mission to educate, inspire, and guide the people around me to finally attain the seemingly unattainable. I started out my career path focused on being a rider, and subsequently teaching horseback riding. But I never saw how the rest of my life affected it, or any other goal in fact. Over the years, I have become much more aware of the intrinsic nature of the human existence, and I have realized that everything I do can strengthen or weaken the other aspects of my life, depending on how I integrate them. This is when I started to become empowered. Empowered in the realization that my whole self goes well beyond what I thought it could, and that I can craft a unique and fulfilling life by finding synergy between all of my passions. I am an equestrian who is empowered by the knowledge and understanding I have accumulated in my life. My core is made stronger by everything that I have added to who I am along the way. I hope to help people on their journey to discover what their core is, and how the other aspects of their lives could help them find their power. I am the Empowered Equestrian. Who are you? I spent most of my life fearing which box people were going to put me in. What category were they going to stick me with? And what did that mean about who I was? As a teenager, I feared things like wearing chokers because people would say I was a slut, even though I was a virgin. I feared wearing shorts because people would see I was bigger than the other girls and would say that I was fat and lazy, even though that was my body's natural state. I feared wearing makeup or girly clothes because people wouldn't take me seriously and say I was a ditz because weak because I thought girls can't be smart and strong and wear makeup. I feared everything about the labels people would put on me because it caused me to retract myself from the world and try so hard to make decisions that would make me invisible or hard to figure out. That's what would keep me safe, because if people couldn't figure me out, they could not label me. And if I couldn't be labeled, they could not stick with me with one I didn't relate with or I didn't want. We all fear labels. Labels are cruel and unrealistic and frankly, really fucking stupid. How could we possibly think that with all of the humans on this planet, that we could even begin to label them all in so few categories? To classify them as if they were rocks or trees, plunk them into a simple to understand category and be done with it. Hate to break it to you, actually I don't, but that is impossible. But we try, oh how we try, because our brains crave familiarity, patterns, and designs so badly that we will invent them when they are not there at all. And sometimes we try to put labels on ourselves before anyone else can, to make us feel we have control. I spent most of my life trying not to be labeled at all, but as most of us do, as I was finding out who I was, I started trying on labels of my own choosing. Although they were still all very stereotypical, the rocker, the country girl, and finally the fitness girl was the label I stuck with for the longest time. And it was by far the most damaging to my sense of self. See, when we try on these labels and we wrap up our entire identity in an exterior factor, like being a parent, our status at our job, or our daily habits, we not only reduce the vastness that is ourself, but we lose ourselves in that thing. Whatever that exterior factor is, it is more than likely temporary. Children grow up and their needs change, we change jobs or retire, or whatever other life changes happen. If our identity is completely wrapped up in something outside of ourselves, then we could lose who we think we are. That is arguably the scariest thing anyone could go through. Thinking we know who we are, having found our place in the world, only to have that ripped from under us. As I have learned more about myself and how I think, feel, and interact with the world, I realize something pretty cool. Our sense of self has to come from within. It needs to be less about what we do and more about how we do it. If we live our lives finding our true self in whatever we do because of our method of operation with any given task, then we can have a sense of self just as strong as ever in absolutely any situation. Ironically, this process brought me down a road of many labels, but these labels took deeper meaning than being a rocker or a country girl. They were less about what I did and much more about how I went about doing it. One of the most instrumental things I learned about, that is also going to sound fairly hooky, and to anyone who has already heard me talk about this in real life, don't think I didn't see your suppressed eye rolls. The things that helped the most were personality typing, the kind of personality tests you take online and such. There are various different constructs for personality typing, and there is no correct one. They all look at different aspects of personality and give different tools to work with, the positive and negative aspects of each person. The ones that I have found to be the most helpful so far have been the Enneagram, the Four Tendencies, and the Love Languages. The Enneagram is by far the most in-depth of all of them and has given me incredible insight into how I handle conflict and what part my childhood had to play in who I am becoming. And before I get into the details of that, I wanted to take a second to give a little advice to anyone who has taken the test and maybe feels resistant to the type they ended up with, or anyone thinking of taking the test and that hasn't done it yet. If you feel resistance when you find out your type, if you feel yourself recoil a little, that is not likely because you were mistyped, although that can happen also. It's more than likely it's because the Enneagram makes us take a hard look at our flaws, as well as our strengths, and it's a mirror surrounded by very harsh lighting. It can be hard to stomach some of the things it will say about you, or that said about me as well. But growth is uncomfortable, and I have found that this system has made me grow a lot as a person, and that was uncomfortable during the process. I'm going to read you a bit about my type. I am an 8, which is also known as the Challenger. Anyone who knows me, or even if you've just been following me for a while, this is likely not going to come as any surprise. So this information is all from the Enneagram Institute's website. I will be linking to them in the show notes. So they say about 8s. 8s are self-confident, strong, and assertive, protective, resourceful, straight-talking, and decisive, but can also be egocentric and domineering. 8s feel they must control their environment, especially people, sometimes becoming confrontational and intimidating. 8s typically have problems with their tempers and with allowing themselves to be vulnerable. At their best, 8s are self-mastering. They use their strengths to improve others' lives, become heroic, magnanimous, and inspiring. 8's basic fear is of being harmed or controlled by others, and their basic desire is to protect themselves and to be in control of their own life and destiny. Each type, which I'll talk about a little bit later, also has a wing. Basically, you're kind of a mix of the two different types. You have a main type and then a secondary one, and I am a 8 wing 7, which I'll talk about in a minute. We have named the personality type 8 the Challenger because of all of the types. 8s enjoy taking on challenges themselves as well as giving others opportunities that challenge them to exceed themselves in some way. Eights are charismatic and have a physical and psychological capacities to persuade others to follow them into all kinds of endeavors. From starting a company to rebuilding a city to running a household to waging a war to making peace. Each type has a scale of health, meaning that they have an example of the best potential of any given type and also the worst case scenario. Eights at their best become self-restrained and magnanimous, merciful and forbearing, mastering self through their self-surrender to a higher authority, courageous, willing to put self in serious jeopardy to achieve their vision and have a lasting influence, may achieve true heroism and historical greatness. At their worst, if they get in danger, they may brutally destroy everything that has not conformed to their will, rather than surrender to anyone else. Vengeful, barbaric, murderous, psychopathic tendencies generally correspond to antisocial personality disorder. No one is a pure personality type. Everyone is a unique mixture of his or her basic type and usually one of the two types adjacent to it on the circumference of the Enneagram, because the Enneagram is kind of this circle with all the numbers around it and lines connecting them. One of the two types adjacent to your basic type is called your wing. Your basic type dominates your overall personality, while the wing complements it and adds important, sometimes contradictory elements to your total personality. Your wing is the second side of your personality, and it must be taken into consideration to better understand yourself or someone else. I am an 8 wing 7, which means I am strongly leaning towards the type 8, as it said, but I also have traits of the type 7 woven into who I am. So type 7 is the enthusiast, the busy, fun-loving type, spontaneous, versatile, distractible, and scattered. Sevens are extroverted, optimistic, versatile, and spontaneous, playful, high-spirited, and practical. They can also misapply their many talents, becoming overextended, scattered, and undisciplined. They constantly seek new and exciting experiences, but can become distracted and exhausted by taking on too much and staying on the go. They typically have problems with impatience and impulsiveness. At their best, they focus their talents on worthwhile goals, becoming appreciative, joyous, and satisfied. The Enneagram system is so in-depth. There is still a lot I don't yet know. But so far, it has been fascinating and challenging to learn about all of this, and it's been hugely impactful for me. As for the other two systems I mentioned earlier, the four tendencies and the love language, love languages are not as complex, but were also very impactful in their own way. The tendencies taught me about how I react to expectations. Being a rebel, I resist expectations from others and from myself. So I have learned how to set goals without triggering my rebel tendency, which would lead to me rebelling against my own will and not accomplishing what I want to get done. You can go to my blog and see the blog post called How Learning I Was a Rebel Made Me a Habit-Forming Machine. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. And in there, I get into more detail about the four tendencies. And finally, the love languages. The love languages helped me learn what interactions I needed from my loved ones in order for me to feel loved. The concept is that not everyone expresses love in the same way. We already more or less know that, but the concept that this book gets into, and there is a different book depending on if you want to learn this system for family, friends, dating, or long-term relationships, is that if we express our love in a certain way, we need to make sure that it aligns with the way that the person we are expressing love to needs to receive it. Otherwise, it may not be taken as an expression of love at all, and those people will end up not feeling loved. For example, someone who expresses love through acts of service, meaning they do things for other people. However, if that person's love language that they're doing things for is words of affirmation, then someone trying to do things for them, although it should and is likely being appreciated, it will not be seen or felt as love from that the person receiving it. Whereas simply saying, I love you or you mean a lot to me would make their hearts overflow. To sound a little bit corny, but it's basically true. It's a fascinating concept and has helped me a lot in basically all of my different relationships, you know, family and friends and my spouse. I now know that I feel loved from words of affirmation and physical touch, and I literally scored a 0 on receiving gifts. So to feel love from someone, from anyone in my life, them telling me they're proud of me or that I mean a lot to them or saying I love you is paramount. It has also given me the awareness to accept that sometimes people just don't know how to adapt to someone else's love language. So I try to kind of translate their attempts into my own language. If they give me a gift, I try and translate that into the words of affirmation that I would have needed to hear instead. And when applicable, I do express my need for other forms of expressing love to them. So basically, I spent a very long time avoiding labels that limited who I could be. And in the process of growing as a person, I have found labels that have given me freedom and created an expansive, more accepting person and facilitated even more growth than I could ever have accomplished on my own. There is no need to fear labels. The fear really stems from worrying that someone will stick us with one we don't like and we will be forced to be that person. That is not possible. No one can make us be someone we are not. Only we have the power to choose and cultivate our identity. I can guarantee you there are lots of people that have labeled me with things I don't identify with in the least and that are likely not even true. I know some people see me as a bitch because I am direct, spacey because maybe I missed an appointment or two, a slut because I wear bold lipstick. Some people see me as a know-it-all because I enjoy research, and others see me as incapable and uninformed. I cannot control any of that. And in the end, it is those people doing the labeling that are missing out, because they will never get to see the complexity and depth of who I am as a person. So if someone has labeled you something you don't like and you don't identify with, fuck them. It's their loss anyways. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast website so you get notified when there are new episodes. Also, it would help me tremendously if you left a review and let me know your thoughts. Questions can be submitted to info@theempoweredequestrian.ca or as comments and direct messages anywhere you find me on social media. Check out the show notes for links to everything I talked about today, as well as all of my resources and links to where you can find me on the interwebs and social media. Always remember, the information on this podcast is intended to provide helpful and informative material and should not be considered a substitute for medical advice or treatment. Bye for now.